Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Friday, January 31st, a new international initiative forms to address the physical and psychological scars inflicted on children by war. One of the winners of the Zayed Award for Human Fraternity explains his cost-effective soap designed to prevent skin cancer. But first, rebels in the Democratic Republic of Congo threaten to bring the conflict to the country's capital. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie. Rwanda-backed rebels who captured the largest city in the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo this week say they want to take their fight to the nation's capital, Kinshasa. They are now reportedly advancing towards South Kivu's provincial capital, Bukavu, causing fear and panic among residents. As Linda Bordoni reports, tension in Central Africa is spiraling as the president of the DRC calls for a massive military mobilization to resist the rebellion, and his defense minister rejects calls for talks.
DRC's defense minister, Guy Kabombo, has vowed to stay and fight rather than enter into dialogue with M23 rebels who have taken control of the eastern city of Goma, home to over 6 million people displaced by decades of conflict. Backed by neighboring Rwanda, the rebels, who are continuing in their drive to assert control also over Goma's neighboring South Kivu province, said they would be open to dialogue with the government, an initiative proposed by the East African Regional Bloc, of which Rwanda is a member. During a briefing, they revealed, however, that their aim is to gain political power. Meanwhile, Rwanda's leader, Paul Kagame, said he spoke with Angola's president, a mediator in the conflict, who also met with DRC's president a day earlier. Both of them committed to working with other African nations to resolve the hostilities. The M23 rebels are backed by some 4,000 troops from neighbouring Rwanda. They are one of more than 100 armed groups vying for control in DR Congo's mineral-rich east, which holds vast deposits that are critical to much of the world's technology. On the ground in Goma, dead bodies are reportedly being left on the streets, and looting is reportedly rampant. The city is largely without electricity and water. The chaotic situation with the M23 rebels has its roots in colonization and in ethnic conflict stretching back to the 1994 genocide in Rwanda, when 800,000 Tutsis were killed by Hutus and former militias. I'm Linda Bordoni.
And in the Middle East, the ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas continues 12 days after it went into effect. Scenes of families and friends being reunited after 15 months of separation fill the news as more and more prisoners and hostages are freed. The names of three new hostages to be released on Saturday have been published by Hamas. Nathan Morley tells us more in this report.
The spokesman for the Al-Qassam Brigades, Abu Obeidah, wrote on the messaging service Telegram that those to be released are Ofer Calderon, Keith Siegel, and Yarden Bibas. Hamas has previously claimed that the three were killed in an Israeli airstrike in late 2023, but Israeli authorities said they had no intelligence to confirm this. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization said on Friday that 50 patients will be evacuated from Gaza on Saturday. At the same time, the EU foreign policy chief, Katja Kallas, said that they had sent personnel to the Rafah border. She said that the EU Civil Border Assistance Mission was being deployed at the Rafah border at the request of Palestinians and Israelis. It will support Palestinian border personnel and allow the evacuation of individuals from Gaza, including those in need of medical treatment. Meanwhile, as the Israeli parliament ban on the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, entered into force, staff have effectively been forced to leave their base in East Jerusalem. It's a move which has been condemned by the organization. It follows Israeli accusations that UNRWA workers were involved in the 7th of October attacks. Jonathan Fowler is a spokesman for UNRWA.
It's like a nightmare scenario, and it's also completely outlandish that a member state of the United Nations system would choose to undo the mandate of an organization, which, let's not forget, is mandated by the UN General Assembly. So, you know, the international community to do a job of work, to provide services, essentially education and healthcare to Palestine refugees, in the absence of a just and lasting solution to their plight.
Elsewhere, despite strong international reactions, as well as the rejection of his proposal by the leaders of Jordan and Egypt, the US President Donald Trump has insisted that the two countries would welcome displaced Palestinians from the Gaza Strip. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
This year's winners of the Zayed Award for Human Fraternity have been announced. The award was established in 2019 following the signing of the Joint Declaration on Human Fraternity by Pope Francis and Ahmad Al-Tayeb, the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar. The prize, now in its sixth year, is awarded annually to individuals or groups from anywhere in the world who work selflessly and tirelessly to build bridges and create real human connection. The award ceremony will take place in Abu Dhabi on February 4th. Vatican Radio's Joseph Tulloch is in the UAE ahead of the ceremony. He spoke to one of this year's winners, Heman Bekele, a 15-year-old Ethiopian-American health innovator who has invented a cost-effective soap designed to prevent skin cancer.
Skin Cancer Feeding Soap is a bar of soap which I had the idea for 4 or 5 years ago now. And so it's been a long time in the making, but it's meant to be this affordable and accessible alternative to the modern day skin cancer treatments, which can range in the tens of thousands of dollars uninsured. And so my main goal with all of this, even more generally as moving forward, is to be able to use my creativity and innovation to help from a humanitarian aspect. A more affordable and accessible goal within healthcare.
And what's the current state of the project? I think you mentioned it's in this research being done.
Correct. This past summer, alongside the Rebecca Laboratories within the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School for Public Health, research was conducted on the bar of soap this past summer on an animal model. It was really exciting and promising, and the research of this is continuing to build up day by day, but we're hoping to soon reach clinical trials, which is where you test on a human, and one day the dream is to get FDA approval from there and get the bar of soap out and into the market and changing lives.
In a few days, you're going to receive the Zayed Prize for Human Fraternity. Human Fraternity, this term, which is so important to Pope Francis, to the Vatican. And I'm wondering, what does it mean to you, the term Human Fraternity?
To me, I think that Human Fraternity is such a powerful term. For me, it was healthcare and making things more affordable, but it has such a broad definition, and the impact that you can have by just being a good person is astounding. And so I think that more than anything, to me, it's more than just an award. It's like a movement towards becoming a better person, having more empathy for other people, and using that empathy to change the world.
That was Heman Bekele, a teenage Ethiopian-American health innovator and one of the winners of the 2025 Zayed Prize for Human Fraternity. Now, in other news, Ukrainians can again bring their children to join them in the UK after the government reversed changes to visa rules. Last February, without notice, the government restricted eligibility so Ukrainians without the right to live in the UK permanently could no longer sponsor people under the Homes for Ukraine scheme, which allows people to host those fleeing the war. But now, they've welcomed the announcement as a huge relief for parents separated from their children. Ahead of the World Meeting on Children's Rights to take place in the Vatican on February 3rd, a new initiative has been created to address the deep physical and psychological scars inflicted on children and their families by war. Countries from all over the world have come together to join the Unbroken Kids Alliance, which, in the midst of so many ongoing conflicts, will implement programs that provide medical assistance, psychological support, and sustainable rehabilitation for those affected by war. Francesca Merlo has more.
As conflicts continue to scar the world, a new international alliance has emerged to bring hope and dignity to children affected by war. The Unbroken Kids Alliance was announced on the 29th of January in Rome during the first International Summit on Children's Rights. It aims to address the deep physical and psychological wounds inflicted on children and their families during conflict. formed by the National Confederation of the Misericordia of Italy, the Unbroken Foundation and the 5P Europe Foundation, the initiative highlights the power of humanitarian cooperation. Through targeted programs, the Alliance seeks to provide medical assistance, psychological support and sustainable rehabilitation. A formal agreement will be signed on the 2nd of February at Rome's Basilica of San Salvatore in Lauro, where high-ranking international figures will express solidarity with the movement. Most importantly, children who have endured war, along with aid workers and medical teams, will share their testimonies, reminding the world of the urgent need for coordinated humanitarian action. The Alliance prioritizes regions devastated by war, including Ukraine and Palestine. In Ukraine, efforts are underway to rebuild healthcare facilities with plans for a pediatric hospital in Lviv. Meanwhile, in Palestine, 70 tons of humanitarian aid have been sent to Gaza alongside plans for new medical clinics in Ramallah, Nazareth and Gaza. In this Jubilee year, the Unbroken Kids Alliance calls for urgent global action, ensuring that child victims of war are never forgotten, but instead embraced with compassion and hope. I'm Francesca Merlo.
On Friday morning, Pope Francis addressed the Roman Rota, the Vatican's highest tribunal, on the occasion of the inauguration of the new judicial year. In his speech, the Pope urged the officials to exercise careful discernment, justice, and charity in their work, reminding them that every just ruling contributes to strengthening the culture of indissolubility, affirmed by the Church's teaching on marriage. Lisa Zingarini reports.
Addressing the Roman Rota officials on Friday, Pope Francis reiterated the critical importance of streamlining processes of annulment and of making them more accessible while upholding the Church's teachings on the indissolubility of marriage.
Ci interpellano il dolore e la speranza di tante fedeli che cercano chiarezza.
We are called by the pain and hope of many faithful to seek clarity regarding the truth of their personal condition and consequently their possibility of fully participating in sacramental life, he said. This year marks the 10th anniversary of his 2015 reform that made marriage annulments simpler and less costly. Pope Francis recalled that the reform was motivated by a pastoral concern to ensure that church structures remain close to the faithful and serve their spiritual needs effectively.
E queste persone vanno aiutate a percorrere.
He insisted that bishops must secure full access to this process and reiterated that the procedures should be free of charge to reflect the gratuitous love of Christ. Pope Francis also underscored the importance of ensuring that dioceses and tribunals are well structured with adequately trained clerics and lay people. A key theme of the speech was the balance between justice and pastoral sensitivity. The Pope called upon the judges to exercise prudence, justice and charity. Their work of discerning the validity of marriage, he said, is not merely a legal duty, but a pastoral service to the salvation of souls, contributing to strengthening the culture of indissolubility affirmed by the Church's teaching on the sacredness of marriage. Concluding, Pope Francis reminded the officials that their work is ultimately one of hope, helping individuals to purify and restore relationships. I am Lisa Zingarini.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, head over to our Vatican News website. Check out our social media for the latest updates from the Vatican. Many thanks this evening go to Alberto Giovannetti in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie.